And so we need to get right to it here because we're late again.
But right.
We have a special guest
in
the studio.
You've heard him referenced many times on the Hardline. A good friend of mine, bandmate. He's been on before on the Hardline. I can't remember what exactly. Oh, we introduced the world to the great Marvin Cease.
Yes.
Well, here is my good buddy, Mr. Chad. Hi, Mr. Chad.
Oh, hello. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that warm welcome. Yes, hello. Oh.
Hi, Chad.
Hello.
It's TC. Say hi to TC, Chad.
Hello, TC.
I thought it was Toby.
Oh.
Toby?
They're both tiny little musician men.
Yeah. Hmm. You could be confused with Toby.
Is that right?
Yeah. This could be like your audition to replace Manny Hatton from the B-Team. If you play your cards right, you could have a sweet gig where you come in here once a year and spare everyone to death.
Well, I'll certainly do my best.
All right.
Is that your real voice?
It is today.
Yeah. This is my real radio voice. Thank you. Yes.
I just talk normal. You're doing
that. I feel comfortable. I feel good with you guys.
You should.
If you weren't talking, how would you sound?
Well, hey, give me some chicken nuggets. Too much?
No, you're doing great. All right, so Chad and myself were fortunate enough to score tickets to a big show last night at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Is that what it's called now?
It's what Verizon? Is that
Verizon? Yeah, that's great.
Used to be Nokia?
Yeah. Used to be Nokia Live. Now it's the Verizon Super
Amphitheater.
Yeah, something like that. It's the place over by Lone Star Park that has bands.
Right.
Well, we got to go last night and see the great Jackson Browne.
Mm.
And I was talking to Chad last night because we had a couple of post-concert cocktails.
Imagine that.
And I thought it'd be really fun because I know how you've kind of got your own music thing and your iPod's full of Brit rock and you're on top of all the new crap that's coming out. I was like, I wonder what Davey thinks of Jackson Browne. So I wanted to bring Chad up because I'm kind of a new fan of his. I mean, seriously, dating back to maybe, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Sounds better.
Because we saw him about a year and a half ago, and I only knew the hits. Like, here's one of Jackson's hits, track six, I guess. This maybe is probably his biggest hit. I know you know this tune.
Hold On Loosely?
That's 38 Special.
No.
Running On Empty. You know, everybody knows Running On Empty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, other than this, and maybe a few other select nuggets, like Somebody's Baby from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is track eight. Dave, if you want to... Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Come on.
Everybody knows this.
I think this is when What's-Her-Name's getting corked in the dugout by the stereo salesman.
That's correct.
And she's looking up at the top of the dugout. Getting things happening to her for the first time, and can't remember if she got pregnant from. No, she got pregnant from Damone. That's right. Anyway,
it's just how she imagined it when she was a little girl.
But that's how.
Yeah,
that's how. It was pretty much the only knowledge that I had to Jackson Browne, and I mean, I'm assuming that that's probably about as deep as you've ever dug into his catalog.
Yeah,
right?
I remember because my music consciousness began in the early 80s, I suppose.
Right.
And so that was around Lawyers in Love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember that record because that was top 40 at the time.
Probably, arguably, one of his worst efforts to date.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really all I ever knew because I never, until I got to college, I didn't really delve back into stuff that was before 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I only mind the very top layer of Stones, Zeppelin, Beatles.
So you don't hate him, you just don't really have
much of an
opinion. I don't
really know anything about him. Yeah.
Didn't he rough up Daryl Hannah?
That's kind of a rumor. I think that police were called to their house and they did an investigation and there was no evidence of any type of violence against Daryl Hannah. And he, to this day, denies that anything happened. And there's nothing in his past before that or anything since that would allude to the fact that he's an abuser or a domestic violencer.
That's right.
You know?
I think he's generally understood to be a doting husband and a loving father.
Except for the fact that one of his wives killed herself 3 months after they were married.
Well, I think she probably had pre-existing issues.
Yes.
But the product of that marriage...
He wasn't a doting enough husband to keep her alive.
Well, they did produce a Versace model. And Ethan Brown, who is his first son, who is now a very handsome fellow.
He's a good-looking kid.
Really good-looking kid. Mm-hmm. He's got another kid, too, from another marriage.
Right.
I can't remember his name, but I'm not sure what his story is. But so you really don't have an opinion one way or the other on the great Jackson Browne. Well, let's go to the iPod, Sweet Dave. And here's he came out first and did an acoustic set with his longtime collaborator, guitarist, David Lindley.
That's right.
And to me, that was probably my favorite part of the show.
It was definitely a highlight, and they were reunited for the first time after some time of playing separately.
Right. How long? Like 25 years, something like that?
Well, I think for that sort of, for this intense of a performance together, I think they've kind of hooked up throughout the years, mm-hmm. off and on. But
this is a full-blown tour. This is not just a one-off with Jackson and David. So they played this song, and excuse me, this is the full band version. But this was a big highlight for me, was this tune. I just want to play you a little bit of this and see if this is something you might be interested in.
What in his hand?
Ticket.
Oh.
The ticket.
See, that's good stuff. So once I started, Chad kind of turned me on to the first three albums. Burn After Reading, the first one, correct?
Saturate Before Using. Why do you keep calling it that?
I don't know, because it's funny. And then the second one was Late for the Sky, right?
Second one was For Every Man,
the one we're listening to, and then Late for the Sky. See, my knowledge is still bad, but the first three records is where it's at. And when you start digging in and in deep to some of his more, I don't know, textural, ballady piano stuff and get away from some of the rock stuff, man, that's where I was just sucked in. I don't know if this is doing anything at all for you, but...
I think it has its place, but I rarely am in the mood to listen to sleepy Americana.
Do you find it's too mellow?
It's mellow and it's not very hooky. It's just kind of meandering.
See, I find Jackson Browne to be extremely hooky.
Yeah, but at the same time, the subject matter is often very dark and very engaging. I mean, it might not be Firestarter by Prodigy, but it's some good stuff.
Yeah, because that's my bar.
I kind of thought,
is it better than Firestarter?
Trying to bring it back around, yeah. You go the other way with it.
This was another song that he played last night off of Late for the Sky. This was a big... I was very pleased about this selection. And I'd even done a little, looking online and seeing what he was going to play as far as set list prior, and this was on there, and I knew he was going to play this one for sure. There was a couple that I wanted him to play, but he didn't quite get to them. But this is Fountain of Sorrow, and this song is amazing. I found inside a drawer, I was taken by a photograph. That is hook laden, and if you're a fan, and I know you are, you love that the Van Occupanther Midlake record. I guarantee you, this was a huge influence in part, along with Fleetwood Mac and some other stuff from the early '70s that went into influencing that record. And I know I'm just trying to expose you to some of this stuff.
I appreciate it,
and you can maybe if you there's certain bands that you like. I mean, don't you think that sounds very Van Occupanther in a way?
Yeah,
very Midlakey.
Yeah, the thing about that 70s AOR kind of sound,
mm-hmm.
is that there's such a fine line between quality and cheese,
mm-hmm.
and he is right up against the fence,
right.
in my opinion.
He will issue a little cheese every once in a while.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Especially as he's gotten just older.
Some of those harmonies get a little syrupy, and some of the lyrics are a little corny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's pushing the envelope a little bit towards the wrong side
mm-hmm.
of that sound to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not educated. I don't know.
You just know what you like and what you don't like.
Well, yeah, I don't necessarily know his peers or that whole scene, so I'm just judging on what my initial reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly think he's got redeeming qualities, and he's one of those guys that, like I said, I don't know anything about him prior to 1983.
Right.
And by all accounts, he was a has-been by then. That all his quality work was done before that.
First three albums, I'm thinking, are pretty strong.
Well, yeah, but like Running on Empty was, what, like 76, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was his biggest hit. I mean, he was building up to all sorts of things. I mean,
The Pretender?
Yes, fantastic mm-hmm. record. But he got very political in the 80s, and that kind of put off a lot of people. But musically, I don't think he's really faltered, except for, you know, the early 80s. I think he fell into a production slump like most recording artists. I mean, you know what I mean? It was hard to make it out of that unscathed.
He's got a good point. Well, I thought that we would try to give you a little schooling on the great Jackson Browne, and I can't think of a better person to inform you more than Mr. Chad.
Well,
I like it.
Did you like it?
I liked it.
But it was all in all a fantastic show.
Yeah.
There wonderful. Were certain moments last night where, I mean,
Could you guys lock arm and sway at any point?
No, we weren't sitting close enough to one another. But I'll be honest with you. When he played For a Dancer for his good friend, the drummer from Little Feet, who died the night before, I shed a little man cry.
Mm-hmm.
A little tiny, tiny little man tear.
Mm.
So, yes, we on the orphanage, we do have feelings. We hurt just like everyone else.
It's true.
Mark that under. Who gives a shit?
All right, Chad, thanks for coming up. It's 11:13 on the ticket. What the hell do you want to do next?
Let's touch on Dr. Laura next.
Let's do that, and then we'll vomit into each other's mouths.
That'll make up for this. This is the orphanage. Dave and Danny, we're with you until noon. We're with you every Saturday. We're slightly better than nothing, and we can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/ticketorphanage.
Mm-hmm.
And also thank you to the great Mr. Chad for chatting with us about Jackson Browne.
Yeah, some people...
Trying to convert me.
Matt McLaren actually thought that he was a character that one of us was doing, that he wasn't like a real person.
Yeah, and TC said somebody called in and thought that Gordon came in and was doing Dr. Carlton Maxwell.
Nope, he's a real human being.
But he does have a persona.
Yes.
He has his Mr. Chad persona. I don't think I've ever actually met Chad.
Dude, that's him. And I'm not kidding. I don't know if he's just cultivated that persona over the years and nobody will ever know the real Mr. Chad, but he's one of my true best friends in the world. And
he's always
even
on
in the
for
most
you.
The most intimate moments of bro downs, he's still that dude.
Huh.
I make no excuses for it. I like that dude.
Yeah, the first time he met my wife, he said, well, hello, little lady.
Well, hello, little lady. Yep, that's what he do. That's how Mr. Chad do.